You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome into the Gym Class for a Tuesday on KGYM. 1600 AM along with 102.3 FM, 107.5 the Gym OT in Cedar Rapids, and 106.3 FM in Iowa City on this very chilly, early May, rainy Tuesday afternoon. Scott Unash from our studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Buttons across the way, right over there on the other side of the glass. Mark Dukes, hopefully not out on the porch, hopefully under some cover today as he joins us from his home on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids here on this rainy Tuesday. You are not outside under an umbrella, correct?
No, I've got an enclosed porch with a heater, Scott.
That's right.
It's as if I was in my office, so I'm good.
You're good to go. You're better off than a lot of us, right?
I wouldn't say that, but... I'm comfortable and ready to go, Scott.
Indeed. Good show coming up for you today. Cyclone fans who want to definitely tune in. Rob Gray from Cyclone Fanatic will be joining us. Plenty to talk about. We'll talk about Iowa State football recruiting. A little bit about Iowa State basketball as well, because a lot has changed since the interrupted finish of the college basketball season. And we will talk about that with Rob Gray coming up here in just a little bit. If you would like to weigh in, love to hear from you on the text line at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. That is our KGYM text line available to you out there if you're not too tired from watching Korean baseball until 3 or 4 in the morning or whatever the heck it was last night. As there was some live baseball, we will say that. I did not partake in the Korean baseball at midnight last night.
No, I'm not interested in watching, excuse me, double-A baseball in the middle of the night.
Yeah,
so
I passed. I passed on it. But I know a lot of people did. So
I shouldn't be that hard on Korean baseball. I haven't watched much of it, so how can I judge? But it's not Major League Baseball. And, you know, I wouldn't watch a Twins game that was in a rain delay at midnight.
Now, what if it was for the pennant?
Well, that'd be a different story.
Okay.
That'd be a different story. But this is opening day. A 9-year-old boy in a bubble throwing out the first pitch.
That was weird.
Per se. Yeah. Can you name one player that's in the Korean baseball organization, Scott?
Now I can. Tyler Saladino, former White Sox. That's the only one.
Well, that's one more than I can name. So.
And I only knew that from reading Twitter earlier on today.
But I know it's some people's cup of tea. I'm not going to take that away from them in the absence of Major League Baseball, at least for another month, if you believe some of the things you're seeing on Twitter. And you never know what to believe anymore. But I guess this is filling a void for some people, myself not included. But I don't begrudge those who partake, I guess.
Yep, I would agree with that. 319-366-1600. Gym Class being presented by Hennings Financial. And, of course, Hennings Financial Incorporated, a Cedar Rapids-based financial services firm that is focused on your retirement journey. Their specialty is helping pre-retirees and the newly retired manage their assets to produce a sustainable income. You can find out more about Hennings Financial Incorporated, your retirement rollover specialist. All you need to do is check them out on our website at kgymradio.com. United States Hockey League draft continuing today. Cedar Rapids Rough Riders with some more selections. And Jeff Johnson of the Cedar Rapids Gazette is chronicling those as we speak, as the Rough Riders and the rest of the United States Hockey League go through their draft. Phase one was yesterday, got started yesterday. So more young men being selected. And, of course, we'll see how it all plays out. Some of them college committees, if you will, and more than likely will play in the USHL before they head off to college. So we will see how it all plays out. But if you want to check that out, I encourage you to follow Jeff Johnson. You should be following him on Twitter anyway, but he's done a good job of chronicling all that today. I believe the Rough Riders got a Bemidji State commitment, so committee. So I'm very happy about that. Always good to have a future Bemidji State Beaver on the roster.
That can't be all bad, right?
It cannot be all bad on the roster of the Cedar Rapids Rough Riders. So another, I think Dubuque took someone from Flin Flin or something like that, Minnesota. So hockey's been in the news the last couple days with the Gazette running their feature as far as their sports writers in their top 15 sports films. Jeff Johnson and Mark Morehouse, both hockey guys, both agreeing that Slapshot is their favorite movie as far as a sports theme to it. So, yeah, it is a good movie. It is a good movie.
Yeah, JJ's top 15 included the Slapshot, and he featured Caddyshack, which is one of my all-time favorites.
Absolutely. And
each of the guys is picking top 15. Nobody so far, including the final season, which is kind of unfortunate, but it was. I'm not going to rate the movie, but it probably wouldn't be in my top 15 either, I guess. But I personally enjoyed it because it was a story I was very familiar with and was made here in Iowa. So
no one's given any love to Tin Cup either. Come on. Where's the love for Kevin Costner and golf movies?
Well, that definitely makes my top 15.
Oh, yes. Top five, as far as I'm concerned. We've done that topic on a Friday before, Mark, but it's been a few years. Maybe we need to take a look at that again. I don't know, with everybody shut down or at least homeward bound for the most part, fighting the COVID-19 and the coronavirus and murder hornets and everything else that Mother Nature and everyone is throwing at us these days. So maybe we need to take a look in the movies once again.
Yeah, maybe. Jeff Johnson, I'm very curious. I need to look into this. His number 8 pick, and it's a film I'm not familiar with, Mystery Alaska.
That's a hockey movie,
Are
too.
You familiar with, it's a hockey movie.
Yes.
Okay, I shouldn't be surprised. Okay.
Believe it is. I believe that I did not see the film. Did not see the film. But I think that is the case. I think that is the case. 319-366-1600. And by the way, before we get too far into it, hats off and happy birthday wishes. Yesterday was Jeff Johnson. Today, friend of the show and listener, our friend Jake Weaver, celebrating a birthday today. So congratulations to him. And congratulations to friend of the show, Brad Stovey, for yet another hole-in-one a few days ago. Rascal.
You know, I saw that. I think it was, I mean, I've had one in my life. The guy has two in a month. Come on. Was it on number 2 at Indian Creek?
Yes, and that is not an easy golf hole.
I mean, I've hit that green. I can count on one hand hitting the green there. It's a 200-yard par 3 with a tree on the left that you have to negotiate. I mean, if you play a fade, it's damn near impossible to get on the green. That is a tough, tough hole. And I think Brad said he had a 3-iron there. Had to be the best of his life unless he bladed it and, and traveled 200 yards into the cup. But now that's some hole-in-one right there.
Yeah, it is. Mystery Alaska from Darren and 4182 on the text line. Very funny hockey movie. True story about an amateur hockey team in Alaska that took on the New York professional hockey team, the Rangers. And Matt in Cedar Rapids, I give him a capital yes on this, on the text line. Long Gone is the best baseball movie ever. I did see that. Very good movie. Very underrated. I don't know if ever. We may have to get into movies. Don't do it now. We don't want to get into this now.
We don't want to spoil it. No.
No, but.
Or be accused of stealing the Gazette's material. We'd never do that.
Well, you have to creatively borrow at times like this, Mark. We can just, we aren't borrowing from it. Maybe we'll just expand on the genre that they have already opened. How's that?
I'm okay with that.
There you go. 319-366-1600. Please hold off on your movies today, but thank you very much for the Long Gone reference and Mystery Alaska. Miracle is pretty good. Now, see, we're getting Wiggy. Wiggy is getting, you know, we're going down the rabbit hole. Miracle, also a terrific movie. Did see that. Very, very good. 319-366-1600. Sadness, though, in the world of journalism here in the state of Iowa. Certainly, Mark, in the last couple of days, or I should say in the last few hours anyway, since we learned this last night, Dan McCool, who covered passionately wrestling, college wrestling, high school wrestling, did it for many years for the Des Moines Register. And you could recognize Dan wherever he was. At an event. Very unique look, a rugged look, if you will. And Dan McCool passing away last night at the age of 60. And that's a journalist and a man that's definitely going to be missed.
Yeah, I had an opportunity to work alongside Dan a few times, certainly when I was on the wrestling beat at the Gazette. And, you know, he'd show up, at some football games as well. And Dan was very passionate, as our friend KJ Pilcher is, about covering wrestling. I didn't realize that Dan wrote as many books as he did about wrestling, and I'm going to have to look into that a little bit. But 60 years old, that's pretty young. And the cause of death, I don't think, was reported. But sympathies out to the McCool family and the Des Moines Register family.
No doubt. No doubt. Definitely will be missed. A lot of people grieving today as far as the wrestling community is concerned, as well they should. We need more folks writing about wrestling, and they're passionate, like Dan was, like KJ Pilcher is, and others. And definitely Dan was one of those folks, and definitely will be missed out there. 319-366-1600. And then we're going to talk to Rob Gray here in about 5 or 6 minutes or so and talk some Cyclones with him. After we talk with Rob, we're going to talk a little bit we're going to get into what's out there as far as Las Vegas is concerned and CBS Sports reported on here. Big Ten odds to win a championship in the Big Ten Conference are out. And we'll kick those around here in just a little bit because some interesting things coming out of there. And never too early to talk about, hopefully, football coming up in the month of September. And with that in mind, Mark, the University of Iowa may be a little bit of a light at the end of the tunnel here. Although it's probably, as was tweeted out a few times, easier to put out tickets and then shut those down if needed, then to go in the other direction. But University of Iowa student football and basketball tickets are up for sale right now.
They went on sale at 9 o'clock this morning, and every year Iowa allocates a certain number of seats in Kinnick Stadium and Carver Hawkeye Arena. It's 8,000 student tickets available for the 2020 football season and about 1,800 student tickets for men's basketball, and that's for students that are currently enrolled. Those incoming freshmen will be able to order later on, but tickets are on sale. I'd be interested to see how the sales go.
And like we mentioned, it's a lot easier to sell the tickets and then, if needed, to shut things down than it is to start fresh in August or whatever. If we get the go-ahead, it's going to be before August. I'm just using that as an example. But to go the other way around and just suddenly offer tickets to the students at that particular time. So we'll see.
Yeah, we've gone 15 minutes. I haven't wished you a happy Cinco de Mayo, Scott. Happy Cinco de Mayo. Are you going the taco pizza route tonight? Are you going tacos? What are your plans? You got any?
I've been so busy today, I have not even thought of that, to be perfectly and brutally honest with you. hopefully others are thinking of that route we'll see. Yes, happy Cinco de Mayo to everyone out there. Enjoy it. Enjoy it responsibly. Enjoy it socially distanced as well. Kyle on the text line saying that Mystery Alaska is based on a true story is like saying that the gym class is based on Kulik and Wingo. I think he meant that in a nice way.
You know, I don't know how to take that, Kyle.
Listen, I have not seen Mystery Alaska, so I have no idea. I was just reading the synopsis from another one of our fellow texters, your fellow texters out there. 7508 is conducting a Korean baseball organization fantasy draft. I cannot help you on that. Let's see. I do. 7633 on the text line has an idea for a Friday topic. Idea for the movie talk in 2 days. One for the top major sports films, and then one for non-major, like golf, dodgeball, and racing. As a golf and racing enthusiast, I don't know how to take that. 7633, because I believe golf and racing are major sports.
Talladega Nights would be in your top five, probably, huh?
Oh, I don't know. It's a good movie. There are some aspects of it that can be pretty close, but there are some things that are just a little bit out there as far as Talladega Nights is concerned. But it's funny, and I like Will Ferrell, so I'll go with that.
We'll line this up in the not-too-distant future.
Very much so. Very much so. Rob from Center Point with a question on the text line. Is there any update on Luca Garza as of yet? No. Not that I have seen. As far as Luca staying in the NBA draft or officially saying that he is coming back.
Yeah, Rob, when Fran McCaffrey last met the media by phone or Zoom, whatever he did there, he said that Luca was back in Iowa City. And I would anticipate news sooner than later, I would guess. It's just an odd time to be going through this process. And unfortunately for Luca, I don't know that it's the best time to do that. I've seen some mock drafts for whatever they're worth. He is not in any of the first rounds that I've seen. And he's on record as saying, you know, unless some team falls in love with me, I'll be back at Iowa. So
same thing with AJ Green too.
Yeah.
The former Cedar Falls star and the UNI point guard, Missouri Valley Conference Player of the Year. Kyle reaching back to us on the text line. He meant it in the best possible way. as a compliment.
We won't read the rest of it because it's just too flattering. I'm not sure it's true.
Thanks,
Kyle.
Yes, appreciate that, Kyle. 2662 with there being not a lot to go off of. I see Luca and a lot of others coming back for their senior year as there is only tape to look at, nothing else but that. Yeah, no draft combines or anything like that, and it will be interesting to see. If more and more, plus the fact that even if you stay in the draft, don't get drafted, etc., you go over to Europe, there are less options over in Europe now across the ocean to play with everything going on right now. So we may see more players coming back, which I am a big fan of, being a fan of college basketball. So I hope that is the case. I hope that every year. May get that this year. We'll have to wait and see. 319-366-1600 and 2752 also adding it might be a good thing they passed the college athletes making money. They have not passed it as of yet, by the way. Correct, Mark? It has not been passed into legislation by the NCAA. The name, image, and likeness. It's still being talked about. But yes, Luka can come back and make some cash if that goes into effect before he leaves, as far as the University of Iowa is concerned. All right, 3:22. We're going to take a break, come back. Rob Gray's going to join us, our friend from Cyclone Fanatic, and plenty to talk about with Rob as far as the Iowa State Cyclones are concerned, as Iowa State with a lot of goings as far as their men's basketball team is concerned, and some coming in as far as football and recruiting. We'll talk about that with Rob when we come back. Gym Class presented by Hennings Financial for the Cinco de Mayo Tuesday on KGYM. Back with you on the Gym Class here at 3:26 on a Tuesday. Cinco de Mayo here on KGYM. Scott, Mark Buttons with you here, and we're going to talk some Cyclones with you coming up in just a couple of moments. Rob Gray will be joining us from CycloneFanatic.com, and we'll talk about Big Ten football odds. We'll do that here in just a couple of moments. Tomorrow it is Caddy Smack on the Gym Class. Looking forward to that. Might have a guest as well, Mark, to talk with Brian Haas tomorrow. And we will do that. So get your golf questions ready to go. It was a great golf weekend the past weekend. So hopefully everybody got out, practiced good, safe social distancing on the golf course, and had a good time. So anyway, we'll talk about that coming up on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class. And on Thursday, Joey Gase, Cedar Rapids native, NASCAR driver, will be joining us as NASCAR is going to swing back into action, not this weekend, but the following weekend with that. And a guy that likes his racing joining us now, Rob Gray from CycloneFanatic.com. Give him a follow on Twitter at Rob W. Gray, all caps out there. Does a great job with Chris Williams and everybody over there at Cyclone Fanatic. And how's everything in Central Iowa today, Rob? Whoop, if I hit this button, I might... Sorry about that. I got a great intro for you, and then I forgot to hit the button.
Okay. No problem.
But it's drizzly over in Central Iowa, too, correct?
Yeah, miserable. But we had, as you mentioned, for your upcoming golf segment tomorrow, such a beautiful weekend, such a great taste of summer to come amid all this, uncertainty, tragedy in a lot of places like New York, and, you know, just hoping for the best like everyone else and trying to abide by safety guidelines.
Hey, Rob, nice talking to you again. I want to ask you about college football recruiting and as it pertains to Iowa State. It looks like in the class of 2021 that the Cyclones have gotten about a dozen commitments, most, if not all, three stars. Is there a so-called star of this group? Can you talk about a couple of the guys?
Well, I mean, based on the 247 rankings, the top two would be Robert Army, a quick, good-sized wide receiver in terms of height. And not super huge, but 6 foot out of Michigan. Very solid three-star. I mean, he has a lot of skills. Looks like he could be very explosive. And I'm not even sure I'm pronouncing it correctly because I'm not our recruiting guy. But Jim Boniface out of Dubuque Senior is also one of the highly rated three-stars. Nice, solid offensive tackle, I think, with room to grow. Big frame that gets after it. And, you know, they got a nice mix. I mean, three Iowans, much of what following what Matt Campbell always likes to call the upper Midwest and Midwest recruiting range with, Illinois, Michigan, Missouri, Ohio represented, and a few of the, typical hotbeds like Florida and Texas mixed in. But, a couple nice D-linemen. A lot of guys I think that probably aren't under the radar, certainly not national ranked under 247, but nonetheless an intriguing group and a highly ranked group at this point, partly because they do have about a dozen, like you said.
Yeah, and talking football, of course, no spring football. And what does that mean for the Iowa State program? Because there are expectations, not only last year going into the season, there are expectations this year going into the season. You're seeing all the mocks right now, and Iowa State possibly with two guys that could go in, at least are being talked about in the first round anyway, potentially for next year.
Yeah, I mean, other than the offensive line, which has been the slowest arriving group in Coach Matt Campbell's tenure, and Iowa State graduating four seniors, converted D linemen who didn't see the field, Colin Olson and Ankeny Kidd, who became a solid contributor. And of course, a couple of guys from your neck of the woods, Julian Good Jones and Bryce Meeker. And at least one of those guys, I think, got a free agent, undrafted free agent deal. And Josh Knipple, another guy who got one of those deals. Really solid group. They really like the guys behind him, though, some of whom we've seen very little of, the Joey Ramoses, Colin Newell, hopefully is back and healthy. at center, presumably, and just a lot of other guys, Rob Hudson. So they like that group there. But you look at the linebackers coming back, Mike Rose, what he's done. Orion Vance has emerged. He's got other guys on the outside there. And then that D-line with the healthy Jaquan Bailey back, Zach Peterson's emergence there, and Annie Wazirike on the edge, and some other nice pieces they're adding in there. Will McDonald back there. And just so, yes, a lot of expectation because a lot of guys come back. It's a loaded offense coming back skill position-wise and a good defensive backfield coming back. And at every level, they've got some really good talent and good experience. So
Rob, I know you did handling it just like recently on Mark Lillibridge, and a lot of folks in this area are familiar with Mark, having started at Linmar and really progressed into a nice player at Iowa State. And we got reacquainted with Mark through his business. He partnered on some events with us here at the station, and got to visit with him a couple times in the last couple years. But wondered, and he's got a terrific son who's a big time recruit too. So can you talk about your interview with Mark a little bit?
Yeah, great football mind. I was really put on to Mark. I've been thinking about doing one on him for years, frankly, but you were always trying to balance it out, a little men's basketball, sprinkle in some women's basketball and wrestling, and hadn't quite got around to it. But our resident great football mind, Jay Jordan, who was a teammate of his, put me in touch. And, boy, what stories. I mean, to start out at Regis playing with Kurt Warner. And he said they actually beat Linmar there. Well, I think it was his freshman season. But he just wanted to play Class 4A, and volunteered to play nose tackle because he said the linebacker room was stacked. And just really progressed, found his way, didn't have a lot of opportunity. You know, had that chip on his shoulder because a lot of people underestimated him at the collegiate level. Ended up at Iowa State as a walk-on after Northeast Missouri. And that was a big risk and not always rewarded, but his position coach, Don Fabris, was vitally important to him, and he managed to gain a lot of accolades and aims, carve out a spot for himself in the pros. But by the time he finally was about ready to start, finally, the New Orleans Saints, Mike Ditka is the coach, devastating neck injury, and it was it. But he knew he'd earned that spot, but he still was not able to take the field. So a lot of bittersweet memories, but a lot of fond memories from him, too, and a lot of life lessons about overcoming a lot of adversity, too.
Yeah. You talked about getting back to the 2020, hopefully, fall Iowa State football team. You talked about the offensive line, and I think that's maybe – it's going to be the X factor this year. There's no doubt for this team because they've got a lot of the parts, as you mentioned. But just all the bodies that they have to plug in now to a new offensive line, how long do you think it might take before it gels up front to protect Purdy?
Well, I mean, that's why Coach Campbell stresses what guys do in the dark, right? Yeah. So presumably, however they're able to get together and do things or just work on their crafts individually, it's a room where the talent's been building. They've been stockpiling talent. Trevor Downing is another one that comes to mind. It's very solid out of Creston. So I think they feel pretty good. They might feel at least as good as they did last year, despite the fact that they had those four seniors, just because of how they feel that they've elevated the talent level. Now, you got to get that five guys as one working in unison thing going, and that's pretty hard to do without a spring ball, and who knows what a fall camp will look like if there is indeed a fall camp. So much uncertainty. I think a guy like Campbell who embraces that, and I think his staff does too, that's going to serve Iowa State well. But again, yeah, I totally agree. It's been the biggest question mark every year under Campbell and most of the years previously, and it is definitely going to be that keystone. I mean, didn't Brock Purdy have time? He was playing hurt a lot last year. It limited his running ability or use, and you got to be able to block for that good stable of running backs, and we'll see on those great three tight ends and guys backing them up. So yeah, it's critical that group gels, even despite the fact that they're obviously facing obstacles everyone else is based on COVID-19.
Let's talk some hoops, Rob, and Steve Prohm's basketball team that had some difficulties last year, some injuries and whatnot, and it's going to look totally different next year with Tyrese Halliburton entering the NBA draft and some other defections, but got a transfer from Memphis and Tyler Harris and Xavier Foster coming in. Let's talk about the composition of the roster for Steve Prohm next year.
Yeah, they do have, you know, Solomon Young really emerged while that team was talent and depth challenged after Tyrese's injury that put him on the shelf. But a real fighter. I think that's a guy who's fought through so many injuries and can be kind of a key guy there. The guard court, it was critical to add a Tyler Harris. Now, Harris is almost certainly a sit-out guy unless, you know, there's some extenuating circumstances that could go to a waiver, but he's a big pickup. But, yeah, I think you've got some strength in the front court potentially, but you've got that team struggled so mightily to shoot. And, you know, when they were on, but it was way too infrequent. And when they were off, it was a struggle to hit anything from the perimeter, save Rajir Bolton, who was granted a waiver and immediately eligible, and did a lot of good things, obviously, his first season at Iowa State. But I like Trey Jackson's game. He's becoming a tenacious defender, and he's a guy that, once he got in his groove from three, could get a roll in a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, it's vital they find a way to add a grad transfer. And obviously some of the more valued guys early on as the transfer market started missed out on those guys. There were some of those guys that were finalists for. So, you know, a lot of guys claiming that Cyclones are in their top five, top three, some of whom I think would be really good gets. You got the Jalen Coleman Lance kid out of DePaul that I think they feel good about having a shot at getting him, 11 points per game scorer, can hit the three, maybe a bit of a volume shooter, but he'd be immediately eligible. So you need somebody like that, and whether they use all the four remaining, fill all their four remaining scholarships or try to do three and bank one, a lot of question marks as we know, based on how last season went.
Yeah, and, they may take as many transfers as they can get at this present time. I mean, right now you look at Cyclones.com. There are 9 people on the men's basketball roster right now, and you know 2 of them are nothing against them, but Carter Booth and Eric Steyer aren't going to get a lot of playing time at the present time.
Yeah, it's very, very lean, to put it mildly. So as I said, I think it's very important. Let's say they don't, because that grad transfer market, a lot of high-profile ones have gone by the wayside. I don't think they take a flyer on somebody that they think might be okay. If you have to stockpile the best sit-out transfers you can get, and maybe even, as I said, bank a scholarship, that might be the best you can do, and just hope that some of the guys within the program can develop and you know, whatever, you know, you've got you're not going to have a lot of guys to work with. But, I mean, there's still light at the end of the tunnel if you put together, you have 3 really nice sit-out transfers there. But Lee Ross, no doubt, as you said, Scott, and it's looking real tough for next year. But there are guys still out there, guys still coming on. There's a guy, Jose Perez, out of Gardner-Webb, that listed Iowa State as one of his top 5, and he's like a 14, 15 points per game scorer, 6'5", guy that decided to leave the team for personal reasons last year. So he'd be a big pickup. Memphis, Illinois, Marquette among those top 5 with Georgia Tech and Iowa State. So we'll see, but I would say that a graduate transfer ad is must for next season.
Hey, Rob, last one from me. Based on what you're hearing, what you've seen Bob Bowlesby say, right on down the line, do you have any opinion, idea as to what the fall and the football season will look like, or are you like the rest of us, just kind of a wait and see attitude?
Yeah, I kind of have to be, because there's so many scenarios. On a recent podcast of ours with our publisher Chris Williams and our one of our firing contributors, Brent Bloom, they mentioned an article they saw, I believe, in the Wichita Eagle, where they talked to Kansas State's AD, and he presented seven possible scenarios for the season.
Yeah.
And it's just become so mind-boggling to try to fit all that into your skull and try to process it and sift through it. I know that Bowlesby has made it very clear he's putting safety first, obviously. He's made it clear that if students aren't on campus, it's pretty darn hard to justify for the NCAA for football players to be practicing together. And, you know, maybe if everyone's in online classes, it's just so many variables here. I do know that Campbell, I do know that most coaches and a number of ADs are confident football in some way, shape, or form will be played. And that's, I guess, what I'm hanging my hat on at this point and figuring it out as I go, kind of like everybody else.
And it's hard. You know, we're trying to come up with game plans for the next 2 months. I know you guys at Cyclone Fanatic are doing the same thing. And you have time now to get into a lot of the things, like talking about the Mark Lillard bridges and people like that.
Indeed. I'm hoping to do a project, an oral history of the 2011 upset of the Oklahoma State Cowboys that changed college football and basically ended the BCS. So I'm hoping that's somewhere down the pipeline in coming weeks as I try to, you know, work the virtual Rolodex, you know, I'm on the phone and with others. But yeah, a lot of projects. I guess you have to be creative, right?
Yeah.
And all of us in this business have to be creative normally, but have to be extra creative now. And it's a challenge, but it's also kind of an opportunity there as well.
That was a Thursday nighter, wasn't it?
It was a Friday night.
Friday nighter. I knew it was on non-Saturday.
Yes, and the tragic circumstances with Oklahoma State having lost so much of their women's basketball team, the coach and some players and the other assistants in that plane crash. It was just a pall over that game. It felt weird all the way. And then to extend into, what was it, three overtimes and Jeff Woody powering the ball in at the end, the great tip interception that sealed it, intercepting Whedon three times. I mean, so many weird elements to that game that, yeah, in the video of the fans in the Alabama bar cheering, right, because they knew that would, you know, knock the Cowboys out. It's just a fascinating game, you know, hopefully can dig into the football elements of that here in the coming weeks.
No doubt. Hey, Rob, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. Keep up the great work at Cyclone Fanatic, and say hi to everybody in Central Iowa, and hopefully we got sports to talk about in the fall.
Absolutely. Great to talk to you, Scott and Mark.
All right, thanks. Rob Gray, give him a follow on Twitter, at Rob W. Gray, and, of course, on CycloneFanatic.com. We will take a break, 3:45. We'll talk a little bit more football as we look forward, hopefully, to Pigskin in the fall or whenever we get it played. We'll talk about that when we come back here on the Gym Class, presented by Hennings Financial here on KGYM. 3:48, back with you on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Todd Promelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn will be coming your way next, and that will take you from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. Caddy Smack on the Gym Class coming up tomorrow. Looking forward to talking golf and looks like we might have a special guest coming up tomorrow as well. More on that when we talk to Brian Haas from Blue Top Ridge down at Riverside. And that will be coming up on the Wednesday edition of the program. Still time to reach us on the text line at 319-366-1600. By the way, speaking of Todd and Alex, and they will have your next opportunity to win from Hertina Stocker Jewelers in Iowa City. A chance for a $50 Hertina Stocker Jeweler gift card. And that will be coming up on their show from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. Shop their website to see a selection of bracelets, earrings, necklaces, watches, and even Hawkeye jewelry. Give them a call to place an order. You can find out more by going to our website at kgymradio.com. And that'll be coming up from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock here this evening. 319-366-1600 is the text line. Our thanks to Rob Gray of Cyclone Fanatic for joining us. Talked a little bit about football, Big 12 football, Mark. Going to shift gears a little bit, talk a little bit about the Big 10 race and odds which have come out from a certain book in Las Vegas. And no real surprise, but three teams from the Big Ten East are expected to have the best shots of winning a championship this year.
Yeah, Tom Fornelli posting this on CBS Sports, and Ohio State, which has won the last three Big Ten championships, the 2020 odds favorite at minus 240. That means if you want to win $100, you got to bet $240. So not much value there. Where is the value? Well, you've got Penn State at 6-1, Michigan at 6.5-1, and then you've got some Big Ten West teams, Wisconsin at 10-1, Nebraska, scratching my head, 20-1, and then Iowa at 25-1, followed by Minnesota at 30-1, and then on down the line to Maryland, I'm sorry, Rutgers at 500-1.
So might as well be 5 million.
Would you be inclined to put, a little scratch on Iowa at 25-1?
I think it's a value
pick. To me, the value is in Minnesota. 11 wins last year and got a lot of people coming back. I don't know. What do you think?
Lost some key people, Antoine Winfield Jr., of course. Adam Rittberg liked Minnesota when we talked with him about a week or so ago from ESPN.com, college football senior writer. I think Iowa's in there as well as a value pick at 25-1. Got to replace a quarterback, which is very, very difficult. But, boy, loaded at the running back spot, of course, lost a number one draft choice at the tight end or at the offensive line spot with Tristan Wirfs, but a good line coming back, good talent as far as the wide receiver core is concerned, and good people as far as the defensive backfield is concerned, and a good kicker coming back for Iowa. So we'll see. Again, there's that, you mentioned Nebraska, 20-1. Huskers coming in again. I think they're going to be the sexy pick once again. If we have a football campaign this fall or spring or whenever the heck it's going to be, fingers crossed on that. But I think the Huskers are, again, behind Adrian Martinez, are going to be a team that a lot of people are looking at.
Yeah, I would suppose so. And he's a good spot to start at the quarterback position. What looks really odd to me, Scott, is Michigan State at 50-1.
Yeah.
I mean, how far have the Spartans fallen? I think this year that program is Rocky Lombardi's, is it not, at the quarterback position?
He's going to be right in there.
Former Cedar Rapidian may well be the starter at the quarterback position, but, man, the Spartans at 50-1 right alongside Northwestern and Purdue.
I don't think there's any doubt about Ohio State. Penn State just edging out Michigan as far as the runner-up spot right now. Again, not a real big going out on a limb deal out of there. On the text line, David and Hudson, get Nebraska out of there. I think, David, you're going to – if indeed – we have a football season, and, you know, my fingers are crossed, everybody's fingers are crossed as far as trying to get that in is concerned on time and in the fall. You're going to see Nebraska in a lot of the preseason magazines talked about quite a bit as one of the contenders as far as the Big Ten West is concerned, if not the favorite to win the Big Ten West. Wisconsin's going to be there, but they got to replace some people that are big time as far as the Badgers are concerned.
Yeah, and I don't see much value in Penn State and Michigan in the 6-1 range because that would mean either of those teams would have to beat Ohio State in the East. So then, if you're looking for value, I think you do look at a Wisconsin at 10-1, an Iowa at 25-1, a Minnesota at 30-1. Beyond that, I don't think that anybody's really going to rise up. I mean, Indiana and Illinois had nice years last year, but they're like 50-1, Illinois 75-1. I mean, those are real long shots. So Ohio State, the prohibitive favorite. And then I think there's maybe three teams in the West that you would look at for value. And as I mentioned, Wisconsin, Iowa, and Minnesota.
I'm going to go Purdue, though.
You reach the championship game, you got one shot.
I don't know if Purdue can win the West, but I think Purdue, keep in mind, Purdue had so many injuries last year. From the very start of the campaign, the very first game of the season, Purdue has a lot of talent. And at 50-1, that's not a bad little spot to put a little sawbuck on the Boilermakers, if you're so inclined out there. But we'll see. We'll see.
They have a dynamic player back in Rondale Moore, the wide receiver, and a lot of other interesting pieces. But navigating through that West, which has become more difficult as the last couple seasons have gone on, that might be a big ask of the Boilermakers.
David adding, it's the same story as last year. How'd that work out for everybody last year picking Nebraska? not a lot of big red love here coming in from Hudson at the present time.
Well, on the other hand, Wisconsin wasn't, over the moon thought of either.
No.
But they're the Badgers behind Jonathan Taylor did what they've been doing the last half a dozen years, if not more.
Yeah, and trust me, they've got a great offensive line once again, and they're going to have another back. Might not be as talented as Jonathan Taylor was, but he's going to do very, very well. Wisconsin's going to have a 1,000-yard back plus, and it won't even be close unless there are injuries at that position. So not worried about the Badgers any. But it's good to talk, even look ahead a little bit at some college football here in the midst of what we're going through right now with fighting COVID-19 and the coronavirus. And it's just good it's good for the psyche, I think, to talk a little bit of football. So that was very, very good out there. Also good to talk Cinco de Mayo, and hope everybody has a very fine Cinco de Mayo night coming up this evening. And we'll rejoin you coming up tomorrow with Caddy Smack on the Gym Class. Get your golf questions ready to go. If you had a malady over the weekend and you want Brian to field your question, try to fix you up for the next time you hit the links, we'll do that tomorrow, plus arranging a guest to talk a little golf tomorrow. So looking forward to that. And then Joey Gase coming up on Thursday, the Cedar Rapidian on the NASCAR circuit. So that'll be coming up in the next couple of days here in the Gym Class, and maybe movies on Friday, we promise, as we got through that today for a little bit. All right, Mark, have a good night, and enjoy Korean baseball. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right.
All right. You've been listening to the Gym Class right here on KGYM. Todd and Alex are next.
An auto policy from State Farm gets you collision coverage. And this radio ad from State Farm gets you coverage of this beloved 90s hit.
I hit a car. I hit a car, I hit a car.